Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Seasoned Veteran. Let me read you the definition for a seasoned veteran. Seasoned described a person who has been around forever, doing what they do and doing it well throughout the seasons. They have lots of experience and they can handle just about anything that comes their way. Now go to Matthew chapter 5. And I'll get to the verses on the war part of this. This is not some game. This is a battle. It is a battle for the souls of men and women and children. People who will end up in a real hell. And in a battle, there are soldiers. And what we are trying to raise up as a church are seasoned veterans of this war. Men and women of God who know how to fight personally and on behalf of other people, how to intercede, how to engage with another person and show them where the enemy's trying to steal, kill, destroy in their lives and has taken them captive to do his will and rescue people who will end up in hell, but also rescue Christians who are just on a self-destruct course. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. So Jesus says this to his people, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So we are the salt. There's a day coming, and God help the planet. When Jesus returns, and we are all evacuated out of here, and I hope I'm not speaking to anybody if this happens in my lifetime, but the catastrophic tragedy, if Christians are removed from the whole planet and you realize you were told, you were warned, and you know it's not aliens that have absconded with everybody. You know it's Christians that Jesus has come for and you got left behind. You talk about panic. I will not have that panic. I will not be here. So why do we do what we do? Why are we who we are? We are trying to warn people, rescue people, reach people, tell them, say yes to Jesus now. Follow Jesus now. And it's almost like people don't even believe there's a heaven or a hell anymore. So while we are here, we have flavor, we have seasoning, we contribute something. A whole nation can be preserved by a handful of Christians. I heard a man named Eric Metaxas speak the other day, and he talked about during the war in Germany, and there were so many, almost 20,000 churches, and a certain percentage of them went with Hitler. About 2,000 or 3,000 of them took a stand, and the middle churches said nothing. 12,000 or so of them, he said. Hitler could have been stopped by the church. All this nonsense going on in our country, abortion, gay marriage, trans everything in the world, people not knowing whether they're male or female. That stuff only gets done because the church doesn't stand up. If you don't know what the truth is, figure out what the truth is. If you know what the truth is, you say it out loud. Enough of this. Just because they've lost their mind, I have not lost my mind. And I know what Scripture says. And I get that part of what contributes to our getting rocked as a church is people go out, you know, dude, you talk about things you shouldn't be talking about. If the church doesn't get involved politically, what do you think it's supposed to be doing? Oh, I'm going to stand back and let the government do what it wants to do. And I get criticized. I say I'm a one-issue voter till that one issue is no longer an issue. I'm going to vote to stop killing babies. I don't care what you think, right? I'm going to do what I can. Because a nation that kills its unborn will not survive. And a nation that doesn't stand up for Israel, by the way, won't make it either. Because here's what happens. They come after the Jews. You're next. Don't you kid yourself. You think it's just Jews they hate? They hate God's people. I'm one of his people. Go to John chapter 15. I saw something this week. I don't know. You know, you kind of read your Bible and go, yeah, I already read all that. And then God goes, oh, but what about that? I'm like, yeah, what about that? Why didn't I see that? John 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, now look how he says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. This can apply to an individual, could also apply to a church. So who gets pruned? The branches that don't bear fruit, but sometimes branches get pruned because you are bearing fruit. So you say, well, I'm living for God. I'm doing what he said to do. I'm obeying. I'm trusting. I'm following. I'm discipling. I'm doing all this stuff. I feel like I'm getting clipped. Why is he still clipping on me? He's clipping and pruning because you're bearing fruit, not because you're not bearing fruit. So he comes along with me and says, okay, yeah, okay. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Yes. Then why are you keep squeezing on me? Because you can bear more fruit if you'll let me trim these things that are a distraction to what I'm trying to do in and through you. And you feel sometimes like, God, why don't you just leave me alone? Enough already. This is it. I've already done what you said to do. He says, yeah, and I got more. So I'm going to clip this branch so the sap comes through this main branch and you explode with fruit. And you say, well, how does that apply to a church? You know, I don't 100% always know who the stowaways are, right? Any given time in a room like this, my wife has sat over here for 20-something years. And sometimes she will pick up on somebody who's here to pray against me when I'm preaching. And so she's praying against them, praying against me. Because not everybody who shows up is on our team. They're on the other team, and they're trying to stop this and shut this down. Whose team are you on? Some people just show up at churches to make trouble. Some people show up at churches to molest children. That's a thing. You know how we have background checks on everybody who works with our kids? We have so many police officers around here to protect, a lot of it, our children. Because there are predators in the world, and we don't want them thinking this is a good place for them. So, if you're a stowaway, you have no intention of participating. You say, well, how would I know if I'm a stowaway? You've never discipled a soul. You have no intention of discipling anyone. You've not talked about anybody about Jesus. You have no intention of talking to anybody about Jesus. You're not reading the scriptures. You're not even connected to a small group or anything, anybody. You just attend. Now, you'll only do that for so long. That's just how it works. But if you don't get connected and engaged with him in the process, there's a lot going on here you could participate in. Amen. You can serve. We have a couple sitting over here somewhere. They realize all this stuff has to be torn up and set down and say, wait, you do this by yourself? There are days I finish in the lobby and come up here and help them wrap cables. I'll do whatever it takes, right? I used to do all of this. So serve. Pick a place. Children's ministry somewhere. This ain't no cruise ship. This is a battleship. Man your stations. So, sometimes a church gets pruned. You say, well, why'd those people leave? They either got transferred, they quit, or he got them out of here for our protection. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I'm reading this for the purpose of making sure you understand that it is a battle and what the battle is. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why would he use references of armor if it's not a war? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle, and let me take a minute and read you a definition of this word wrestle, or wrassle, depending on where you're from. So this word wrestle means shake or vibrate, a wrestling struggle or hand-to-hand combat. It was used of the wrestling of athletes and of the hand-to-hand combat of soldiers, both of which required deftness and speed. It denotes the struggle between individual combatants in distinction from an entire military campaign. So why do you put on the full armor of God? Because you have daily, like I do, hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. And you're either winning those battles or you're losing them. And the reason for putting this armor on is this is how you win these battles. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So I've tried to explain this along the way. If your marriage is in trouble, your main problem is not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's not these physical things. It's not flesh and blood. It is principalities. It is powers. This room right now is filled with angels. You say, well, how do you know that? I got people that I trust. I'm not even asking to see them. Lord, I'm not asking because it's hard enough already. but I got people who see him in this room. You say, well, why do you believe that? That's the battle. It's spiritual battle. It's angels, it's demons, it's God himself moving troops. If you could get you a spiritual drone and fly it around this place on a Sunday when we meet here and then run it through here, it'd freak you out. You couldn't even come back. And I'd feel even better if someone told me that all the demons were waiting out by your car. They know better. You won't get in there. Too shut down, too prayed over. I've had people tell me for years, they come in these ramps in the back, just walk up the ramp and burst into tears. Why do you think that is? You get in here and you burst into tears, some old theater downtown Dallas. Because this is a safe house. And this ain't no halfway house. It's an all the way house. And our intention is for you to come in here and to be able to pray and sing and have some protection and get a sense, a taste of what it would be like to walk out of here and stay that way. Instead of getting your teeth kicked in the rest of your life, every day, everywhere you go, that you can win. Philippians 4. Let me take a minute in Philippians 4. I'll just insert this here before we read Philippians. You know, when you kind of have some shakeups and things get stressful in your own family, whatever, you get creative. One of my daughters and her husband invited us over for dinner, me and Rebecca. They were worried about us, wanted to see if we were okay. And at one point, one of my daughters, my youngest, Catherine, was born after this church started. She's known nothing else. Victoria, we were at her house. She was a little girl. And she looked at me and said, Daddy, something to the effect of, you are my dad, but you're also my pastor. And this is my church. And it matters to her what happens to this church. And now she wants to know, what can I do? She sings faithfully up here. Tyler's back there running a camera usually. Is this your church? Right? You got to find out, is this your church or just our church? People ask me sometimes, how do you join the church? You got to have pronouns. Your pronouns change. It's not their church, your church. This is my church. Pronouns change, opportunity, responsibility, everything changes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So these two people kind of got crosswise. He calls them out by name right up front in chapter 4. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then you may have memorized or know this, heard of this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the only explanation for explaining how I feel. You say, well, aren't you anxious, money or whatever stuff? Like, how can you be anxious if you do this? I've taken it to him. And I'll read you this verse in a second. I'm not the provider for this church. He's the provider. And the only way we ever make it, or the only way even as an individual, if I look back over my life as a single man, then married, just me and Rebecca, then these three kids, there is no way I have made it without Jesus showing up. There's no way. Exceedingly, abundantly, above anything I could ever ask or think, he's done stuff I didn't even ask for because I didn't have the guts to ask for it. And he shows up anyway. Nobody wants better for you than Jesus. You don't even want better for you than Jesus. So if you go to him and you say, okay, Lord, I can either panic, freak out, or be anxious, or do it your way. And he says, let's do it my way. How do you know you've done it his way? Because the end of this deal, the peace of God, which surpasses, you can't explain it to anybody, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when the enemy comes and says, what are you going to do? The peace of God, who is standing guard over my heart and mind, says, not today, Satan. I'm here guarding his heart and his mind. He's not going there. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Figure out what that stuff is and think about that. You won't go negative thinking about that. And the enemy will have a hard time getting in your head if that's what's in your head. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. Now, so he's had a need. They met the need, some kind of financial, physical need. And then he tells them, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So now a church sometimes has to learn, like a person needs to learn, to be content. So we pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What if God says, okay, now that's going to apply to the church. I'm going to give you daily bread one day at a time. Money will show up to keep you going. Are you going to trust me? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You say, but I don't have what I want. That's not what he promised. He did not tell you he's going to give you what you want. He would provide your needs. And what are your basic needs? Food and clothing. You say, what about shelter? It ain't in there. You say, well, I don't like the sound of that. I didn't write it. I just work here. It's not in there. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. If I could take you back, I was trying not to kill myself. I don't even think, I hope the building is not even there. I lived in a room, a one-room tear-down thing on the edge of Seminary campus in Fort Worth. I had a bed, a bathroom, cost me hardly anything. They shouldn't have charged me for it. I had a little pan, and I had a little heat thing. I had a car with no brakes. Grateful for the car. You just had to plan at intersections where to ditch. And I would buy minute rice, big box of minute rice. I could afford some grated cheese. And I can cook me some rice, sprinkle that grated cheese, mix it up, put some salt on it. I could probably live forever on that if it didn't kill me. I had nothing. I've told this occasionally. I would drive up to the Dairy Queen window with like all the coins I had, and I would hand it to the girl at the window. This, she must have thought I was nuts, because the car wouldn't stop anyway. You had to be riding by doing it. You know, so I'd hand her all of my coins, and I'd say, look, and I'm 23, 22 something years old. I'm like, how humiliating. I'm like, just give me the biggest double dip cone you can for that. Now, can I tell you that I was content? I was too broke to know any difference. I couldn't fix it. And I was really unhappy enough that I couldn't make my life work and wanted to die because I couldn't figure Jesus out. And he took care of me. He didn't let me kill myself. He wouldn't kill me. He sent me help. But he taught me a lot through all that mess. What I can't live without is Jesus. That's what I can't do without. I can eat me some rice, but I can't do it without Jesus. So Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. In other words, I have nothing. And I know how to abound, more than enough. Everything and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. And then this verse gets jerked completely out of context so much. This is where it applies. In the context of contentment, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't apply this, though, to being an Olympic athlete. Oh, I read the Bible. I can be, I'm going to win the 100-yard dash. You're going to lose, dude. It doesn't apply to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in the context of contentment. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You're the only ones that helped me. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then look at this phrase, and my God shall supply all your need
according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. People say, well, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to help. You can't afford not to. Where do you think your sustenance comes from? Where do you who's providing for you? You didn't wake you up. You didn't keep you awake. You can't keep your heart beating, your lungs pumping. It's just God himself, the giver and sustainer of life. Then verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Couple of other ones, Hebrews 5. So how do you become a seasoned veteran in this battle against Satan, sin, death, hell? This describes some of the process and some that happens when the process is not happening. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time, now he's addressing some people and this is not all nice, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So how do you graduate from milk? Oh, I don't even want to share this. Our dogs had puppies. We were not planning on this. I got 9 little puppies at my house. And these, I mean, I've taken out a loan for goat's milk. I mean, this is getting crazy. Mom can't keep up with them. Rebecca's got this concoction. We're buying 5 dozen eggs in a box at a time, trying to keep these dogs alive. Milk, 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 milk. And now she's throwing some stuff in their food. And in a matter of days, they will be eating solid food because they're not puppies anymore. How long are you going to be a puppy? Puppies are cute for a little while. They don't work forever. Little dog's okay. Puppy, not okay. You can't be a puppy, a Christian puppy forever. Oh, I just need me some more of that milk. No, it's time to grow up. You can get born again. You can grow up. You have to grow up. Okay, keep reading with me. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? So how do you know that you're off of milk on solid food? Because you are applying the scripture. You are living it out. You know when you come to good and evil. You don't have to go, oh, well, I'm not sure. So I do a little analysis. I think, well, and sometimes people say, oh, you're pushing too hard. So Jesus says, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, well, we're not going to read that verse anymore because that's too hard. That's the stuff. Who wants to play on a team where the coach says, well, you know, we're just going to have fun and, you know, when it's not about winning, it's Christian soccer. You can suck and it be okay. Not going to learn any, you know, how to dribble, how to do any of this. Just be together, be together. I'm not interested in that. I'm trying to hit the finish line winning, right? And I'm gonna have to answer for this. Show up a bunch of puppies? Not on my watch.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So, my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, was born 11-11, Armistice Day. And on Armistice Day, 1918, I think it was, November 11th at 11 o'clock, 11-11, everything was 11 except the 18. And when you read about what happened that day at the end of World War I, there was a cessation of hostilities. I'm looking forward to that day. Cessation of hostilities. That day already happened for the Christian. The hostilities that God had toward me as a human being because of my sin, the day that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood and was buried and raised from the dead, all hostilities against me ceased. But I live on a planet where the hostilities have not ceased in terms of what the enemy's doing. But there's a day coming when the book of Revelation says that one angel will take Satan and throw him in the pit and lock it, and he's gone. And there will be a cessation of hostilities. Get you some of that.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.